Hey, folks, welcome to the Redneck Country Podcast. This is episode 6, part 2 of the bull riding episode. And we took a little break from our hunting stories to bring you some bull riding stories. And we hope you're enjoying it as much as we are making them. This one we had to cut into two parts because we went a little long, had a little too much fun. But it's how Scotty and I both met Bill many years ago, which started this beautiful friendship. And we had to coerce him. If you didn't listen to episode 5, by all means, go back and do so. It is part 1 of the bull riding. And we had to coerce Bill into taking us down that rodeo trail with him on how he got started and how he made his way all the way to number 1 in Ontario to be top 5 in Canada. And again, it was an excellent podcast episode, and we're going to carry it on. Now we're going to dive into some more stories of some actual bull rides and maybe some injuries, some experiences, and we hope you enjoyed as much as we do sharing. So without further ado, here we go.
You had a different experience than I did. I didn't break as much, but you know what, it's all part of it. I had concussions. Somebody asked me one time, thought about how many injuries you had. I said, I really didn't. I mean, if the 9 stitches above my left eye, the possible fractured ankle and the concussions, I got pretty lucky. You know,
no
I didn't
doubt.
really have, I mean, I got beat up. Don't get me wrong. I got stepped on a lot and that kind of stuff, but nothing residual, nothing that stuck around.
No, right? Yeah.
You hear of guys, I broke my leg, and we talked to Alex, and he's, you know, he broke his leg in a number of places. I was fortunate, very, very fortunate I didn't get that. I remember getting bucked off the back of a bull, and both legs were on either side of my head. You know, it just missed. You know, I got stepped on one time, the bull came up the back, my back stepped right on my helmet, split the helmet in two, but it did it. But I was fine. I got up and I walked away, right? Just there was things that happened in rodeo that somebody was looking down on me to give me the opportunity to perform, to have fun with it, to meet people, and still walk away at the end of it and be able to, you know, I hope I come across intelligent still.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it could have been a lot worse, but I'm sitting here, living room now, looking at, you know, championship saddle. I got 2 buckles in the trophy case. I mean, I made Royal Winter Fair 3 times, I think. CCA Eastern or CCA Finals once. What more did I want, right? I know. Oh, I mean, I was
the buckle is all I want. I think I told you that too when the first time we met. I'm in it for the buckle.
that's it. Buckles are won, right? And that's yep. what I wanted out of the sport. I mean, I went over to Jeremy Skydum's place when I was first getting into it. He had his championship saddle on a saddle stand in his living room, and that was my motivation right there. You know, it didn't matter what I had to do, how much sacrifice I needed to make, how much workouts I needed to do. I was going to do everything in my power to be successful enough to accomplish that,
yep.
You know, be a success in the sport. And when you reach that pinnacle, for me, what else? You know, it did. 2012, the year after I won the championship, was the worst year I think I ever rode, because I had reached the pinnacle. I hadn't set new goals for myself. I was riding on the high of the win from 2011, and I hardly made finals that year. You know, maybe I don't even think I did make finals that year, because I just didn't set myself any goals.
You done it.
And then
yeah,
you know, I did it, you know. And then, you know, when the last bull I ever got on, just to finish up my history story a little bit here, but the last bull I ever got on was at the Royal Winter Fair on the Sunday, I think it was a Sunday afternoon show, 6,000 people in the stands, camera on me. I'm up on the Jumbotron and I can't get excited.
Really?
You know, nope. No, at that point in time, I had figured in my mind that this was my end, right? I was, you know, I finished up top 3 in this Ram Rodeo Tour Finals that year. I can't remember what year that was, 14, 15, maybe. I finished up within the top 3, top 4. I was a reserve champion in the finals. I made Royal Winter Fair. I didn't win a buckle that year, but what more did I want out of the sport? You know,
yeah.
my heart wasn't in it as much as it was. And in a sport like bull riding, if your heart isn't in it,
yeah,
it's time to get out of it.
Yeah.
Cause that's when you're going to start to get hurt.
Yeah. I hear you. I got hurt before that, but I hear you. So I'm cutting you off. Go ahead.
No, and I was just going to say there was never a time. I had a wife and three kids by the time I was all said and done, but I had a wife and two kids, and there was never a time when I rode bulls that I thought about getting hurt, thought about them. You know, what are they going to say? And that's bad to say. It's not that I didn't think about them, but as soon as I stepped over the buck and shoots, I flipped the switch and it was a different story.
Well, that's where I was just about to go. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had a, then you would know.
Well, that's it. You know, if I had of stepped over the buck and shoots and not gone back to my practice routine and rhythm, and if I hadn't have gone to a zone where, you know, I was thinking about paying a mortgage, thinking about my kids, then I wasn't focused on the job at hand. And that job was to beat that bull in its environment, you know, get your 8 seconds, get off safely, and then you can start thinking about all the other stuff.
Yep. No, 100%. And I was just about to go there, and that's why I was going to put Scotty on the spot, is the feelings and the emotions and what goes through your head. Cause that's probably the most interesting thing to anybody once they hear about the stories, right? And those that watch are like, yeah, I could have rode that bull, but you are not prepared. I don't think anybody would be prepared. At least I wasn't, for the emotion and everything. When you look down in that chute at 1800 pounds of pure muscle, that has been bred and trained to kick your freaking rear end, what you've got to overcome, and then turn that into 110%. Your mind, bull, I'm going to whoop your rear end. And so for me, that was a big deal. I had 15 minutes before it was go time. That's when I tried to start saying, okay, forget about everything, but that bull, I'm going to whoop this bull's butt. If you think, oh my gosh, this might be the last time, you know, I walk or I can play with my kids because I could get paralyzed, you're not going to do anything and you won't get on. And for me, there was no turning out a bull. You're a punk. So that wasn't happening. And 15 minutes beforehand, it was go time. No matter what was going through my mind, it was go time 15 minutes beforehand. And Scott shared with me. Sorry. Yeah.
No, that's when I was most relaxed. To be honest with you, when I was ready, when I gave myself the build up time, when my chaps are on, my vest is on, my helmet, my bull rope is on, the bull's loaded, and I'm sitting on the back of the buck and shoots with I sat across the buck and shoots. My bull was right underneath me 9 times out of 10 in the later years when I was riding, when I got more comfortable riding and I could be a little bit more relaxed at preparedness or how I was getting ready. But I would sit across the back of the buck and shoots with my bull rope on, watching all the other bulls go, just getting myself mentally focused. And I was the most relaxed two or three bulls before it was go time, ready to go. And that's when you sit down in the back of the bull and you start to go through your routine and you know you've got your routine down, it's nothing can shake you at that point. You know, Joe Shaw was famous in 2011 for trying to say stuff or try to get into buck off his bull. Yeah, to get into your head a little bit.
You're making his bulls look silly.
I would have fun with it, you know, as I was tying him. I'd talk back to him. Not talk back, you know, he would just banter back and forth with him, and all the while going through my routine and having fun with it. But at that point, if you let him get into your head, or whoever, or whatever the situation is, if that bull was bucking in the chutes and acting up a little bit, and you let that get into your head, you're beat.
Yep, that's a perfect lead for where I'm going. Right? Yeah, I get what you're saying exactly. Because so before I get to where I was going though, Scotty always went with me to tie me in. He was always on the back of the chutes and pulling ropes. And I know there was probably a cowboy or two that I can remember. One younger man went to do it, and I was keyed up. I was on the bull, and he went to pull my rope, and I said, "No, he's going to pull my rope." And the guy kind of looked at me like I was an idiot, but it was he was there to relax me, and he would you know, say things as I'm pulling my rope and, you know, keep feet, whatever. He was there. He was my rock, and So regardless of that, he did share, and I don't know if Scotty's going to recollect what he did share with me, but I'm going to put him on the spot. Do you remember what you said to me, Scott, the first time that you, right after the first rodeo when you tied me in?
Right after the first rodeo?
After the first rodeo you tied me in. First or second one, when you were on the back of the chutes and you tied me in, and then afterwards we were talking on our way home. Or maybe it was in the hospital, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
You don't remember telling me about the your feelings?
Oh, the adrenaline, the vibes of everything is intense. You're tying your best friend into a freaking bull. You have no idea what's going to happen, right? It is, you're kind of like, I don't even know how to explain it, but you're
in a master, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's intense.
Yeah.
I never even made one.
He never even wrote. And I tried, but I remember he said to me after, he goes, dude, I was not prepared for that. And I'm like, prepared for what? And actually, I think it was right after when I broke my back the first one. And then my next ride back was 8 weeks later, Ram Rodeo in Exeter. It was that one. And so I remember after that, and I got stepped on like 11 times. My arm, there's a picture on Facebook. It's black. Like it's like a bruise. You have that picture, but it's not bruised like purple. It's black. It looked like I had a sleeve tattoo that I was demanded to remove, and they just colored it in. I mean, it was top to bottom. I had bruises on me that were darker than anything I'd ever seen, and the size of softballs everywhere. And my whole right arm was completely black. But I chalked it up to being kicked more than stepped on, because I was underneath the bull, and it was like the Matrix. I keep referencing the Matrix, and I'm not even a fan of that movie a lot. I know the last podcast I talked about it in the rabbits, but I mean, I was under that bull dancing back and forth, and hooves were coming down around me hitting the ground, and I didn't think I got stepped on, but I think I got kicked a whole lot, because my gosh, was I black and blue. But I remember...
A lot of people say when they ride bulls, that the bull's got big horns. So what? The feet is what you need to worry about.
That's exactly the and I can attest to, it doesn't matter if that bull's 1,200 pounds or if that bull's like Jiggy, 2,300 pounds. That bull, you are nothing to that bull. You are a feather pillow to that bull. His sweet cheeks hit me. He was a little bull, like 1,300 pounds, and he picked me up and threw me 5 feet like I was nothing. Like you're nothing to those bulls.
This is raw power.
It is. It's impressive. Absolutely, how they can control that muscle is impressive. But so I remember what Scott said to me. He said after that, and he might shoot me for saying this, he says, "Oh my gosh, I wasn't prepared for that." And I said, "What?" He says, "I was tying you in, and I don't know how you got in there and tied in. Like there's no room." And Bill, you can attest to this. There is no room. When that bull's in that chute, you barely can get your legs down between that bull and that chute. And 9 times out of 10, that bull's going to lean on your legs with all that weight as you're trying to tie in and get situated. And literally, him just moving a quarter of an inch, and the room's gone. I mean, it's all you can do to get your – you sometimes got to kind of wiggle your foot down to get it down between that bull and the chutes. There is no room. And Scott said, looking down, there's no room. And it's all muscle. And you're climbing in there. And he says, I'm standing around a bunch of cowboys. I'm tying you into this bull. And he says, it was all I could do to keep from tearing up from the amount of emotion that came over me while I was tying you in. I remember you saying that. Do you remember saying that?
Oh, yeah.
And he said, all I'm thinking is, holy crap, Scott, keep it together. You're surrounded by 15 cowboys, and you're going to start bawling. And all you're doing is tying this guy in. So I was laughing. But I remember that bull. I was not prepared. I came back from breaking my back. I drew that bull. And again, 2 weeks ahead of time, you know what bull you drew. And he was unknown. It was now another new bull, unnamed. And I said at the time, I think they keep giving me these mean, unnamed bulls that are brand new to get the new guy out of the rodeo circuit. This guy's too old. Like, who is he? Let's get him out of here, was my theory. But I remember RM126, and I see, okay, I drew him. And then Ram Rodeo had a naming contest for this bull. And it was, if you named the bull, then you got to go behind the chutes. And I think you got tickets to the finals and all of this, if you were chosen to name this bull. And I remember saying to Scotty, what are the odds that on my first bull back, I drew a bull that's, you know, a weaker bull. And there are no weak bulls, but an easier bull to get by. And what are the odds that they would choose an easy bull, a non-powerful, if you could say that, bull to be a name that bull and be this flagship of this contest. Like, not very well. So I was a little keyed up going into this Exeter rodeo. And so we got there. And again, my cousin and Les was there. And I remember Les, if you listen to this podcast. And now, so everybody knows, Les owns Redneck Country Studios. He's got, he's a guitarist and the whole nine yards. And asked me if he could use the name Redneck Country Studios. And I was honored that he even asked me. Like, absolutely. But he's the one that made the music, the intro and the outro tracks for our podcast here. So he said to me, Todd. And he pulled me aside, and I don't know where it came from, but I was keyed up, and I just come back from breaking my back, and people are going like, why are you doing this? But he said to me at the time, he says, Todd, you're not riding alone, buddy. And whatever, that was enough to kind of get my head into the game and get ready. Okay, let's go. But right prior to that, one of the announcers, and I don't know him all that well. I'm Facebook friends with him, and he's a super guy from what I do know of him. But you can attest, Bill, you'll know him a lot better than me, but Brad Bowie. And yep. He pulled me aside. He says, Todd, he says, what bull did you draw? And I said, RM126. And he started sizing me up. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just seeing how deep to dig the hole. And I thought, you jerk. Thanks a lot. But it kind of broke, to be honest with you. I'm glad, because that's my personality. I need to laugh. And so it kind of broke the oh my gosh, I'm doing this again. But I don't know if he actually said it, but in my mind, he did. And when I was getting in, either him or Ross, they said, you know, I was just fresh back from an injury. And to me, this is now, I'm a cowboy. I broke my back. I signed back up and I'm back getting on again. And to me, that was one heck of an injury. I don't know. You know, I asked around. I know I said to Steve in Caledonia, because I was a new to this. And he said, oh, you're not getting on. I said, dude, I got a compression fracture in my back. And I'm told that I don't have the muscle. I said, have you ever had that? Like, how long? Do you know? And I was shocked when he said, I've never had that problem. And I was like, really? I figured this would be a normal thing. But so to me, I was back. I signed up. I wasn't a one hop guy. I wasn't, you know, I had a serious injury, and I'm still getting back on. So to me, I'm now a cowboy, and that kind of fueled me to do it. But I was not prepared for the power.
That is a big difference. You know, that is a big difference in people. As soon as they take the first hit, get the first stepped on, hit the ground the hardest, you see a lot of people scatter and never see them again. And that's, to me, is a testament of your want for the sport, is if you're willing to and able and do take a hit and you get back on, it says something about, you know, who you are and what you want out of it.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. A lot of guys say, you know, if a bull rider tells you he does it for the money, I've always said, and maybe for them it's true. I've always said they're full of crap, because I don't know a bull rider that has money for the most part from bull riding. So if they say that, the reason I was doing it for me was A, I wanted to buckle. And that's what I told myself I was doing it. But B, it was that ego thing. I wanted to conquer that bull and I wanted to prove I could do it. And I wanted to be a cowboy. And that moment for me right there, I conquered getting my butt kicked. I conquered one heck of an injury in my mind. And I played hockey. I played high school football and everything else. And I was always a little guy in that. So I was always used to getting roughed up, but there is nothing like that. And so when I come back now, you know what? They say cowboy up. And I think that's such a cheesy saying and such, but to me, that's what it was to me. I was now a cowboy. That was the reason I was doing it. I was proven to myself, being a small guy my whole life, I'm a tough bugger, man. I'm getting back on. And that was everything to me. And so I remember, and you talk about joking around. I remember when I was tying in to that bull, and now I got my own rope. And so it tied in nice. It was a good rope. And I remember tying in, and Scotty tying me in, and it came tight and everything was good. And yo, a little too tight, Scotty, back that off just a bit. And you remember that?
Yeah.
And you're like, really? So anyway, back that off just a bit. But Joe Shaw is going, hey, you better be ready. And he said something to me. I don't remember what it was when he was tying the flank. And I looked back at Joe while I was tying in, and I said, hey, are you ready to name this bull Toddy's paycheck? And that is not what I should have said. I think I remember him saying, "You just focus on you," or something like that. And so I nodded. That gate opened. It was two steps, and I was under that bull. And Exeter is a sandy ground in that arena. And I have a picture of Corey Mills, the bullfighter, and his hand is almost on that bull's snout. And it is a dust cloud under that bull. And all you see is my hand on top of that bull's snout. And that's it. Only to prove there's a rider under him was my hand emerging from the dust cloud. And but anyway, that he kicked me, I think, 11, 12, 13 times. I don't even know. I was black and blue everywhere. But I got out from under him, and I learned right then, when I get out, look for Scott. And so that was my habit. I'd look for Scott and run like crap to find Scott. Scott would reach down, grab the back of my belt, and he would pull me over. I mean, at the time I was working out so much and trying to stay as skinny. I was maybe, what, 130 pounds, Scott?
Yeah. Yeah. You're a little guy.
Yeah. Like I was skinny. I was 130 pounds. He would reach over, grab my belt and pull me over the chutes. And I knew I was safe. And I got over and I'm looking for my wife and my daughter, Megan. And I remember Avery was just born. She was in a stroller and I'm looking for them in the stands. And I see Megan and I'm giving them the thumbs up. And I remember Joe Shaw saying to me, "What are you thumbs up?" And I had a big grin on my face. And he says, "What are you thumbs upping for? You just got your butt handed to you." And I said, my daughter was in full-blown tears in the stands, crying, like just losing it. And I said, "I'm trying to let my family know I'm okay." And he's like, "Oh, okay then." And then he moved on to tie the next flank. But I remember that. But that was crazy. So that was my second ride. What's that? Sorry.
They named that bull. They named that bull Hillbilly Hurricane.
Yes.
That was the name that they gave it to.
And your son won the Name That Bull contest.
Yeah. And the funny story about that one, I won't go into too long for the story on this one, but that Hillbilly Hurricane, he just came up with. He's pretty witty, and they announced the naming contest winner at the plowing match right here, right around the corner from my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was at that plowing match that it happened. And so I got on a bull by the name of Hotshot.
You won that. Sorry, I'm stealing the thunder. I'm biting my tongue.
That bull, Hotshot, at that point in time hadn't been rode. He was not a bounty bull, but he was kind of one of those bulls that everybody wanted to get on. They'd make two or three rounds. The Hotshot would pick a second or third gear, dig a hole in the ground, and he was small.
Whip you off.
But he would just pick a gear and get it on, right? And that plowing match, it was right on the corner from my house. My parents were there for it. The kids were there, and from my son's school, and it was just a really neat day. And I get on this bull Hotshot, and the video's online somewhere, and I ride him for the first time ever. And so my son wins the Name the Bull contest. I win the rodeo, the plowing match. So fast forward a couple of weeks, and we're at finals. And now Hunter gets to, Hunter's my son's name, gets to do his prize for Name the Bull contest winner. So he gets behind the chutes tour, which for him growing up around rodeo was a little bit different than somebody that's never been there, but they let him
get on one
back. No, yeah. But
they would have, but Candace said, "No way."
But he got to go back and help sort stock with Joe, and Joe kind of took him under his wing a little bit back there. But what they did let him do is help, tie the flank strap, because I drew that bull the day of finals. So the last day of finals rodeo, third bull into it, I'm one for one in finals. I rode my first bull, bucked off my second one. This bull here, Hillbilly Hurricane, my son named it.
And getting on him for the finals. Could it build any? Was Roz having a good time at the announcement on that? That would be awesome.
He absolutely was. Yeah, he absolutely was. And, you know, he started to tie, my son started to tie the flank strap, and then Joe took over and finished it up. But, you know, he waved to the crowd and on the back of the buck and chutes while I was getting tied into the
bull. That's so awesome.
He had a bet with me, my son. He says, "I'm bucking you off this bull." I said, what are you talking about? He said, this is my bull. I named this bull. I'm bucking off this bull.
You know how much money he costs you?
Yeah. He said, I said, all right, no problem. I said, I'll bet you a coffee I ride this bull. Yeah.
I'll bet your school tuition I ride this bull. Because that's what determines whether you go or not.
This is it. You are not going to college. That's very simple. So I get on, and the bull comes out, and I am not getting bucked off. I rode dog hair off this bull, and he come around at the exit gates and started to dig a hole, and felt I wasn't bucking, or he wasn't bucking me off, and turned and went the other way, you know, and jumped out of his spin, and 8 second buzzer goes, I jump off, and back to the end, the buck and shoots goes, and he was crushed.
he was crushed because he lost.
Yeah,
he cares was that his dad just lost. Cheated death and whooped the snot out of one of the most powerful animals in Ontario. No, he lost because of it. Dad, you strong jerk, you.
and you know, I'm eating it up. He disappears, and, you know, it's all family around there. I don't really worry about him. 5 minutes later, he comes back, hands me a coffee. You know, he came good on his debt. It's one of the experiences I'll never forget. And that's you know what? That's what I get out of rodeo. That's what I got out of it. It's not the fact that, you know, I made money. I bucked off. I had some injuries. But those are the things that will stick with me for the rest of my life and his. Where else are you going to get that experience, right?
Yep. I remember you say that. And I had the big question that's always asked. And when I went back to trap shooting after that, and I'm at the St. Thomas Gun Club, and Earl Brown, he says to me, whatever possessed you to do that? Like what? And I said, I really don't know, Earl, but I will tell you that it has made me more confident in life than I ever have been. And he looked at me, and I had been at the gun club for a long time. I worked there as a trap boy. And he looked at me and he says, Todd, I don't ever remember you having a problem with that. but I could say it has made me, I don't want to say cockier, but it has, where, you know what? If I can conquer an 18, you can conquer those fears. You can conquer that overpowering. Like you, again, you don't understand the emotion when you're looking down at 1800 pounds that you have to harness. And like you said, you got to put it out of your mind. Like, I know you said you were calm, but it took a lot of mental strength for you to be calm. I believe, I know it did for me.
Oh yeah. There's no question.
Right. And that was, you harnessed it. And so for you to be able to overcome that, and essentially you're cheating death every time you get on. And there's been people that have died doing this. There's been lots of people that have been, you know, crippled and seriously injured doing this, and life altering injuries doing this. And you were able to come out of that unscathed. I mean, that is a confidence builder. And it's such a stupid thing to story to put it to. But I remember getting on a roller coaster with my sister going, and I'm wearing my Fitbit. And my sister going, oh my gosh. And it was a pretty crazy roller coaster. I don't remember where we were, but we were down in the States somewhere, and we were getting on this roller coaster. She says to me, oh my gosh, I like, how are you just standing there? I'm freaking out right now. Like, this thing's insane. Like, it goes straight up and straight down. And I said, I gotta be honest with you. Bull riding's kind of ruined me, because after doing that, this is nothing. And I said, check this out. And I showed her my Fitbit. I think my heart rate, if I remember correctly, was sitting at 56 beats per minute as we're next in line to get on this roller coaster. And I said, this is nothing now. It kind of sucks. It's because what you got to harness, tying into that bull and being able to nod your head, yeah, let's go, especially when you got family there, for me was a big deal. Now, I'll say my family never went to another rodeo after that Exeter. They did. Sorry, they went to the Woodstock rodeo. Do you remember the Woodstock rodeo, Scotty?
I do. I got pictures of that, too. The kids were little. They're in front of us.
It was epic, and I will tell you, it was – It's embarrassing for me to say, because I know all the if any rodeo people listen, I know all of them would think that I'm just an idiot because I didn't do it long enough to be able to have the creds. But it made my dad's day. It made it, because Woodstock was so close. There was an entourage of people that went. And I remember Jake Nelson at that time helping me out with you on the back of the chutes too, Scotty. And yeah. I drew happy. Oh, shoot. What the heck was it? Oh, King Louie, who's got an insane amount of drop. He's not really known for spinning. He's known for the straight down drop and kick. And back me up on that, Bill, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, that's it. Big Red Bull.
Yeah, yeah, and it just straight drat down. And I mean, I was not prepared, but I knew he wasn't a mean bull. And nobody ever, I mean, people maybe wanted to draw Raw Dog, but you knew that Raw Dog was a bull that was known for, I don't care that there's bullfighters in here. I'm going to find the dude that was on my back, and I'm going to destroy him. And
I never bucked off that bull.
Oh, and I got a story, but that was my worst injury, I think. Residual effects on that one. But with King Louis, it was just straight drop. And I remember I tied in, and Jake Nelson said, Todd, knees up. You got to squeeze on this guy because he is going to rear and drop. Knees up. And Jake was such a nice guy. And I appreciated that, him saying that to me. And Scott tied me in, and so I nodded, and I was not. When that bull dropped, I can remember that feeling to this day that my legs went up around his ears. And then when I thought, I am screwed, and there is nothing I could do because I had no control at this point. My feet were in front of me, which normally when I rode, I couldn't keep my feet. They'd be flying out behind me like Superman. But this time, they're in front of me. And it's like I'm in a lounge chair. And I don't know. But when he came back up, he picked me right back up and I was in perfect shape again. And he would drop and my feet would go up over his ears and I couldn't keep him back. But when he came up, he'd pick me back up again. And I took him for 7 seconds, I think, is what which I was elated. And I bucked off on the right side, my mother being there. And I was elated because that was probably at that time the longest bull ride I had done. And I bucked off the right side. He then was coming. And I remember I'm on my back. And just as I hit the dirt, I look and he is turning towards me. And I'm scrambling to get out from under him. And he just jumped on by me. Didn't care. So didn't hit me. Nothing. It was great. And I remember I got up and there was a big sign. And I pounded the sign like I was mad and come walking back. And the guy that was helping Joe flank the bulls, he was an older gentleman. I don't even know who he was. He grabbed me by the mask through the rungs of the arena and pulled me right. So my mask was right against it. And he says, "Don't you be mad at that. That was an awesome bull ride. You did awesome." And I looked at him and I said, "Dude, you couldn't kick the smile off my face. I just see the guys on TV when they buck off punch signs. I had to do it." But I was so pumped even that he'd done that. But then Scotty was sitting up on the chutes when I got climbed out. And St. John's ambulance person was sitting there, standing there, a lady. And I looked up at Scott and I said, "Is my thumb supposed to look like that?" And he looked at it and went, "Huh." And he reached down and grabbed it and he yanked it and popped it back in. Oh my gosh. He says, "Nope, it's supposed to like that." And the St. John's nurse just looked and laughed and said, "I'd have done the same." It was dislocated. He just popped it right back. Oh my gosh. Sent me through the roof. But that was my Woodstock. So that was awesome. So we climbed back all the way over all the chutes to get back over to where the crowd, like the stands were, because my whole family was now standing down by there. And bull riding's the last event. So we get standing there and I hop back over and we're hanging out with them and talking. And mom was a train wreck because she had watched. I can't remember who it was that got hit pretty hard, I think by Raw Dog, to be honest with you. And so we were all standing there talking, and some lady and her grandchild came down and said, we just love bull riders. And this is where I said, I don't have the creds to do this, but she said, we got the program. Can you sign our program? And my dad was in such awe, standing there going, "My son is signing an autograph after getting his butt whooped on a bull." I at that, I don't know what. Well, maybe he was thinking, "My son's finally a man." I don't in my 30s. But I said, "Absolutely." My dad's pulling out the camera as I'm signing this lady's program. Like, who am I? I'm Todd from St. Thomas. That's dumb enough to pay $100 to get stomped on by a bull. I'll sign your program.
But you know what? But you're not to the people that are watching, and that's what. One of the things that I'll never forget was in Aurelia Rodeo, there was a group of kids that came, I'm not sure from where, but these kids looked up to me in 2011 when I was riding. I was on tour. I had a radio spot, they were featuring Bill Tom, number one bull rider in Ontario, and I thought, oh, that's awesome. I get right to the rodeo, this group of kids. Every one of them wanted my autograph. Every one of them you know, it was just in awe of me. And I thought, I'm just Bill Tom, right? I got a job. I go to work. For this moment in time, if I can put a smile on that kid's face by signing an autograph, giving him a bit of my time, that's what this is all about, right? We talk about making memories, and that memory for the kid is going to be ingrained in him. And I won that rodeo on Optimus Prime, which sealed the deal for me basically for the year, for winning my championship. But to do it in front of the kids that before the rodeo came up to me, asked for my autograph. After the rodeo was over and I rode that bull and I came back and all the kids piled around me and they wanted my picture for scrapbook memories or whatever it was. I was on top of the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And see, to me, that's what fuels a bull rider. That want of, I conquered this and I've made it and it's justified. You're the man, right? To a point. I don't want to say it's everything, but I think to a lot, it's a little bit of an ego thing, right? If you don't have it, you're not going to be able to do well. You got to want it. But did I say that wrong? Maybe.
No, you're absolutely right.
But it was so cool. It absolutely, like me, I didn't even know what to do. We signed an autograph and they wanted a photo. I put my arm around them and here I am covered in bull crap. And I mean, it had rained. They had canceled they had to postpone it or something because of thunderstorm of the day before and everything. Like it was just, I was a mess. And here I am with my arm around these people, giving them a photo op and everything. I'm thinking like, I'm nobody, but you're right. It put a smile on my dad's face too. I thought it was pretty cool. I wouldn't lie, but I wouldn't act bigger than I was. And I don't to this day. Like I said, I didn't have the creds to be able to do it. I was honored to do it, but I did not have the creds. But it was pretty cool. But I got one more story that I could share, and then I will share on how I got out of it, or why I got out of it, or what made me get out of it. I was gearing up for another bull ride. The bull is Fisher Price, and this bull to me is one unique bull. I mean, he is such a cool bull. And so I tied in on him, and I was being cocky and stuff. And Alex, buddy, he's the one that pops the latches. He was in ready to pop the latch on this bull. And I looked back and said, "You got that go?" He wear a GoPro on his hat. I said, "You got that GoPro ready?" And somebody said, "You just be ready for you," again to me. And it might've been Pee-Pee at the time. And, cause he was in the arena. And so I tied in. And I was ready. The first bull that I had drawn that I got on that day, it wasn't a draw. I got on. The first bull I got on, it was Rickards Red, and I was not ready. I one hop, I was off. And I thought, oh, you're such an idiot, Todd. And I nodded. I was not ready. So this bull, I was ready. I'm gonna show you that I can do this. So I tied into Fisher Price. And I remember all of the stuff. I was trying to be as technical as possible. When he drops, grab with your heels, with your spurs, and toes out, and then plant that hand. And when he comes up, you drive off that hand and you match him right up head to head and get over top of him. And I was ready. So I tied in, ready to go. That chute opened up. He dropped. I set my heels for what I thought was awesome. I'm not losing my feet on this one. There's no heel clicking here. I dug in only... From what I recollect, and again, that's tough, but from what I recollect was he dropped again. And so he went down, and then I thought that was it. He dropped a bit more. And when he did that, I was already about to drive off my hand and push my hand in. So my arm was tied in, and he yanked me down at the exact same time that he was coming up. And our heads hit, and hit hard. I was out. I hit the ground. I come to, Pee-Pee was over top of me. And the bull was gone, and I got up, got out, and I don't know if I ever said thank you. I was kind of dazed, but thank you, Pee-Pee, if you ever listen to this. And he maybe not even remember himself, but he's done it so much. But I got out, and I remember Alex coming over right away over to the side and said, "Are you all right? That is one of the loudest hits I have ever heard." And when our heads clacked, and I said, "Yeah, I think I'm good." Well, it wasn't, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, and my jaw was so swollen that I could barely open my mouth. And I thought, man, okay, this is starting to hurt. Maybe we better do something, go to the hospital. And so I said to Scott, all right, what do you think? He's like, dude, like your jaw is out like goose egg. We better go. So off we go, Orangeville Hospital. And while I'm in there, there was, it was Brett Timmermans, which I believe now has gone on to a scholarship down south.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's down south.
Yep. A younger guy. And his dad, Dale. And I don't know Dale that well. What I do remember is more often than not, the plowing match that you won at, I remember it. He would be on the back of the chutes helping out. And he would always be the guy to hold my vest so that if that bull bucked, it didn't put my head off the front rail and in the chute.
He'd be the one you'd want doing it because he's
a big dude.
Massive guy.
He's a big dude.
And, top shelf guy too.
Yeah, absolutely. From what from the conversations I've had, again, we're Facebook friends, but that's as far as it goes. But from the conversations I had with him, but his son had actually hipped his knee on one bull and caught the side of the chute when he was coming out, and something happened there. I don't know exactly, but he was in the hospital at the same time that I was there. And I remember Dale coming over, his son was there ahead of me, and Dale coming over and talking to me and saying, you all right? I said, well, my jaw's out the side, so I'm waiting. He goes, yeah. And I guess he says, I got six plates all in my face here, all screwed together from when he was hit. And, so that kind of resonated with me. I'm thinking, holy crap. That's, I don't want plates in my face, but I said, I hope your son's okay. And oh yeah, he'll be fine. And, so away I go in, and come to find out they did an x-ray and I broke the bone that comes down to hold up my jawbone on the one side. And so they were spending me for a specialist. At the same time, my arm was swelling up my wrist. And so they x-rayed it and they weren't sure if it had been fractured right then or previously, but it was broken where my hand meets my arm at that wrist joint on the left side. On my riding hand. And so they wanted to cast that up. So they put the plaster of Paris cast on it. And the reason I'm telling this story is I'm getting there. So I went back and I was going to ride again the next day, as I was supposed to. So I go back to the Orangeville Fairgrounds where it was being held, and Alex is camping there for the night. So I go over, and Lester Bowman was there. I remember he was hanging out. And so I said, look, man, I'm out. I appreciate everything you did, but I got a cast on and my jaw's cranked out the side of my face like something. And I remember Alex, straight as can be, straight laced, not joking, not one iota, dead serious, saying, you leaving? And I said, oh yeah, you're not riding tomorrow? And I'm like, oh dude, look, I got a cast on and my jaw, I don't even get mouth guard in, let alone my helmet fit. He's like, we got left-handed ropes. And was dead serious. I'd say we got left-handed ropes. It was like, I was like you, Bill, to a point where I had a job. I got two kids and I'm like, you know what? Nope. I'm out. I'm good. And so, so we left, and the next day, my mom was always dead set against me doing this. She had gone to that one Woodstock rodeo, and the next day we had Luke Bryan tickets. And at the Budweiser Gardens. So at the time, I don't know if it was John Labatt Center, but I remember mom had bought us all and everybody. The Crons were even going with us, I think, Scott, weren't they, Kevin Cron?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
it was Luke Bryan, it was Randy Houser and everything. So we had dinner package and that. So we showed up. Now, I should say that I promised Scott, when every rodeo that he went with me, if he would go, I would take him out for a nice steak dinner, like the keg style steak dinner, which for us
that's a pretty sweet deal.
It was a pretty sweet deal.
So I would always take him out for that. So we did after the hospital, after we went and seen Alex, we then hit the steakhouse in Orangeville, and we both ordered the prime rib, and it shows up. I cut my first piece and I didn't even think. And I could not open my mouth. I couldn't get it into my mouth. My teeth would not separate far enough to get this. And here's this freaking 12 ounce prime rib. And I couldn't, and the waiter's laughing at me. And so Scott got two prime rib and the waiter brought me some soup.
you can set me for that for 24 ounces of meat. Awesome.
Full disclaimer, folks, Scott did eat it all.
Good for you, but you can't let that stuff go to waste.
How do you stay a ninja? You eat 24 ounces of steak a day.
That's right.
That's right.
So I just said, let's pretend you're eating Fisher Price. But anyway, so we hit the next day, go to the Luke Bryan concert at night. And I, of course, I'm throwing on my rodeo shirt that had my sponsors on it and everything. And I show up, and I had a buckle at that time, and I had won it because I had bought it on eBay and I won it in an auction. So I get there and I'm thinking, I'm showing up. My mom has no idea that my arm is in this old school plaster of Paris cast. She has bought us this dinner package. I can't eat a thing. My jaw is jacked out. I look like I got a second head. And so we walk up and Dad meets us first and he just goes, "Oh my gosh, your mother." And so we get up there. My mom, "What? I told you." And oh, did I get the fifth degree and everything else? But I will tell you what, in a sea of cowboy hats that are at that Luke Bryan, I felt like I was legitimized sitting there in my cowboy hat at the Luke Bryan concert. And I think I even posted a picture of J.B. Mooney on a bull that said, "Ladies, that gentleman you met at the country concert last night's not a cowboy. This is a cowboy." And I kind of held that in the back of my head. But anyway, that was my ego and taking over. But after that, it was I went a day, and the next day it was the Welland Rodeo. Sorry. That was another concussion that compounded on top of the Welland Rodeo where you won, I believe. And I drew Raw Dog, and I don't remember the ride at all. I remember taking him. He, for whatever reason, he did not turn into the corner. He went straight out into the middle of that arena. And I think I made it 4.5 seconds. I was happier than a pig and crap, but I don't remember what happened. I was just told after the fact. And Alex says that his GoPro screwed up and he lost the GoPro footage. I don't know that, or if it was that bad of a wreck, he didn't want to show it. But from what I'm told, I took that bull to the center. It turned left. I did not. And I was lawn darted into the dirt. I believe I was told that that bull came back around, hit me in the back of the head, and then dragged me across the dirt. I was cut and right below my nose, between my lips, or above my lip, right between my nostrils, I was cut. So there must have been enough come up into my mask that it did that. And he drove me. I came to, found Scott, and I remember being on cloud nine. I was jacked. And didn't know that I bucked off. And I just kept, "Did I make it? Did I make it?" And I remember him and Joe Shaw were standing there just staring at me blankly. Did I ride it? And I think you said, "Scott, we thought you were dead."
We did think you were dead.
It literally came out of his mouth. He always said I would yell at the end because of the adrenaline. You don't know you're yelling. I was yelling. And he just looked at me and he said, "We thought you were dead. Did I make it?"
Like a rag doll under there.
And yeah, I guess I was just dragged in. So whatever happened the next day, I remember sitting on the couch watching TV with the wife. And that morning, I woke up at 7 a.m. It was a Saturday because that was a case ultimate, right? It was a Friday night rodeo.
That's right.
And yeah. So the next day it was and Bill won it, everybody. Bill won that rodeo. And I remember the next day I woke up and that room was spinning. And I mean, it was spinning so fast. 7 a.m, I wake up, and I mean, it was a late night because we had got home from that. Didn't go to the hospital because I was feeling fine. Even though that went down, I was feeling good. And we got home. I wake up in the morning and had to go. Sorry for this, but I had to go pee, and or in Todd's terms, I had to urinate. And so I woke up and the room was spinning so fast. I have never, ever in my life could imagine the room spinning this fast. I can't even describe it to you. And it spun like that while I had to lay there having to go pee for 10 minutes and it wouldn't stop. And 10 minutes is a long time. And I just remember thinking, is this going to be my life? Like, is the rest of my life going to be this? Like, this is insane. And I got so much anxiety of laying there freaking out. I thought, I got to go. I got to get up. I got to go pee. I got to do something. So I rolled and I crawled, trying not to wake Jen because I know she'd snap on me and not knowing what was going on. And I was in panic. And so I crawled to the bathroom, was able to lean against the wall, go pee, crawled back in. Well, by the time I got to the back, crawled back to the edge of the bed, I sat on the edge of the bed and it had slowed down. And I kind of relaxed. Okay, it's not going to be like this, it's slowing down now. The room is going to slowly stop spinning. Okay. So I laid there for a while and couldn't get back to sleep. And the room was still spinning, but it eventually stopped. Later in the day, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I believe we were watching PBR on TV. And I said to Jen, "I'm going to get a drink. Do you want something?" And when I stood up, I hit the ground. I couldn't, I just, it was just done. I stood up from the chair and I went on from the couch and I hit the floor and she just one word, hospital. So away we went and they did the CAT scan and I got this doctor. He was a new doctor, young guy. And I'd not seen him, and I had gotten to know the Emerge doctors. Trust me, Scotty got to know him too from going and hanging with me. And the one
frequent flyer.
I tell you what, I mean, I've cracked both sides of my ribs. I've broken my wrist, my jaw, my ankle, and yeah, I mean, you name it. I know there's guys out there got worse injuries than me. But I broke my back, but the doctor, the one, I won't mention his name, but he'd have fun. He'd pull up because they're computerized now, X-rays, and he'd pull them all up. Let's see, Todd. He had like a flip book, he called it, of my injuries that he would pull up and go through them. It was kind of cool. And so they did a CAT. I got, but he wasn't in. So I got this doctor and he did a CAT scan. He looked up my history and he sent me for a CT scan. And I go in this big machine, the boom, 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 boom. And so that made me a bit nervous, but he says, okay, you're done. And I said, what do you mean I'm done? And he says, you're done. You're not gonna, you've got a concussion so bad that you can't ride again. You are done. And I'm like, whatever. I said, okay, look. And by now the symptoms had stopped. And I said, come on. Like it was later in the day, it stopped spinning. And I said, come on. Like, what do you mean? Like, how long do I got to wait? He's like, you're done. And we were arguing. I said, I'm not done. How long do I need to wait? And I had drawn King Louis again at the plowing match that you won on the Thursday. You rode on the Saturday, I think. For that plowing match?
That's right, the last
one. Yeah, and I drew on the Thursday. So I rode on the Thursday of the plowing match. So, and I drew King Louis, and I thought, I like that bull. I just took him for 7 seconds in Woodstock. I'm riding that freaking bull. And I believe that was the chain of events, but again, concussions. But so I said, no, I drew King Louis. There's no way. I'm going to the plowing match. It there's no way this is not happening. And he says, no, you're done. And so he says, you know what? Fine. He says, you have to wait 7 days. And I'm like, well, it's in 6 days because it was Thursday. So I'm good. And he goes, from when the symptoms stop? I'm like, well, they stopped. He's like, no. He's like, you don't even know with concussions. You need to wear sunglasses all the time. And he started going on. And again, me being pigheaded and what I considered the cowboy way was I was tough. I wasn't turning out that bull. And yeah, okay, whatever. So I left and I got on King Louis at the plowing match that you won. And I rode for, I don't know, 5 seconds. I went over the front. My hand, again, don't buck off into your hand. You buck off away from your hand. Your hand will roll in that rope and get stuck. And it got stuck. And I remember trying to grab the horns of King Louis as he continued to do those big drops and just so I could hug him. And so his horns were hitting my ribs and that ended up cracking my ribs. But hold him so that I could bounce with him and ride him sideways, kind of side saddle or wrapped around his neck until the bullfighters could get in there and pull my rope. And I think back now of all the times the bullfighters did that, and thank you guys. I wasn't in right thoughts of thanking them properly at that time. I think I did say thank you, but not enough. But anyway, so did that, and then Fisher Price then cracked that jaw, and then my last rodeo, word had started to get back to my parents of my injuries, whether it was my wife, I don't know, of what was going on with concussions, and that one being my fifth concussion in that little time frame of that year. And so I drew Sweet Cheeks at the last rodeo, the 25th Milverton Ram Rodeo. And so I said, all right, Scotty, we'll hit this one. And so away we went. And so the funny story with why I think Fisher Price is such a unique bull is while we're getting ready, Scott was leaning on the chutes. And I know I'm going on a bit of a tangent, but I'm getting to where I quit. And just for those that are kind of trying to follow along. But from injuries to bull rides to everything else. But so Scotty's leaning on the pens of where all the bulls are being held. And we're having a conversation. And Scott's not paying attention. But this bull is rubbing up against his hand like a dog. And Scott reaches through the rugs and without even thinking about it, like a dog, and he's carrying on a conversation with me and starts to pet the bull and rub it. And the bull's just standing there like a champ taking this petting. And I'm like, dude, I looked over. I said, Scott, you're petting that bull. He goes, oh, yeah. I said, that is the bull that just broke my jaw and my arm. It was Fisher Price. Like, really? Could you maybe grab him and give him a couple shots for me here? Like, what are you doing? And at that moment, Joe, comes hopping over and he goes, "Oh, that's nothing. Watch this." And to give you an example of these bulls in such form, and we haven't really talked that the bulls are the best animals ever taken care of in the world. They are a lot of money. And so, I mean, if you do anything to a bull, that bull owner is going to whoop your rear end. You are not valued near as much as what those bulls are. And so anybody that thinks, "Oh, those bulls," they love it. They are well taken care of. They are a pet. And to drive that home, Joe, he starts snapping his fingers. I don't remember how it went down, but he got Fisher Price, this 1,800 pounds or 1,850 pounds is Fisher Price, and he got him. He drops to his knees. Now picture this giant. It was almost mechanical, like a transformer, dropping down to his knees. And he rolls over, and Joe is laying on Fisher Price's belly, like full body scratching him.
Yep. That was awesome.
I could not believe that this bull, and I'm thinking, this bull, as soon as you put him in the chutes, he knows it's go time.
They flip a switch too.
He broke my jaw, and with like, it was nothing. Like I was a feather on that bull's back. And then here he is rolling over like a dog getting pet. And Joe's laying on him and rubbing his belly like nothing. Like you wouldn't even dream of it. But that was that bull's mentality. He was just such a cool bull. I don't think he had a mean bone in his body, but he could buck. And so we're at that Milverton. I drew Sweet Cheeks, and I figured, okay, Sweet Cheeks, little guy, just a little bull. I'm not even worried. I've got him. And I had been going to Alex's and getting on the buck and barrels because Alex had told me that that's how Bill won the 2011 championships. Bill spent a lot of time going to Alex and getting on those buck and barrels. So I went to Alex's.
The secret is out.
Yeah. Yes. And everybody listening, Alex will probably accommodate if you talk nicely to him. But he lives for that, helping out bull riders and helping the sport. But so I had gone to Alex and gotten on, and I figured, okay, I was ready. From the time of breaking my jaw and my wrist to coming up to this Milverton rodeo, I'm ready to rock. And so I had been thinking a lot, thinking about my kids, like you said, trying to get my head in. And so I'm trying to flip that switch 15 minutes beforehand that I got this bull. And it shouldn't have been that difficult to do because this bull was such a small bull. And you thought even a small bull, you're nothing to. I mean, they're powerful. But I could do it. And Alex, I got the video of it. Alex yelling at me to keep my feet because I would always heel clack. They'd go up over the back. But I took him for maybe 3-4 hops. He blew my feet out. Down I went. I went over the front of him, and he nuzzled me. And I believe he cracked my ribs, if I'm not mistaken, Scotty. We had to go to the hospital after that ride too.
I don't remember. And we were there a lot.
Yeah. But he nuzzled me and he broke my, I believe he cracked my ribs on the right side that time, just from nuzzling me on the ground and pushing me along the ground. And it wasn't even fierce or ferocious. It was just, he dropped, I went over the front and there I was, and he nuzzled me. Bullfighters came in, got him away. I remember running back saying that I punched myself in my junk too many times. They hurt, and sorry for being crude. And that was that. And Ross Miller walked by while I was throwing my crap in the trunk and said, "Hey, pretty tense. You were underneath them there for a minute." And I said, yeah. And hopped in the car. And I remember driving back, and I can't say it was all my parents or anything's fault, but I remember driving home and I said to Scott, "Would you keep doing this?" And do you remember what you said to me, Scott?
No.
He says,
I supported you.
What's that?
Did I support you?
No, not on this time. You said, "I can't believe you've kept at it this freaking long." He says, "For the amount of," and I don't think you stopped there. I believe you carried on. "For the amount of hospital rooms we visited, for the amount of times that you've been hurt, like, is there a day gone by that you have not been injured?" But to me, that was my badge of honor. That was my, not being, growing up in the country, not being growing up in rodeo, to me, I was a cowboy carrying and still getting on. I was injured. I didn't care. I was getting on. I wasn't giving up. And that's what drove me. And that's what fueled me, was just the fact that I don't care. You know, I'm in my 30s. I'm still going. I'm not stopping. But at that point, I said, you know, it was harder this time to be thinking. And I think there had been some other things happened in the rodeo world that had me thinking it. But I remember thinking, you know, I'm one ride, I could be paralyzed and my kids now are getting to the age I'm enjoying hanging out with them and stuff. And then
priorities change. Right?
Yeah. And it was harder to get my head in the game. And Sweet Cheeks wasn't a bull that I should have been that worried about. I mean, I wasn't no good rider that, oh, I could ride him, no problem. It wasn't that. It was the fact of getting hurt. I didn't put the weight that Sweet Cheeks could really hurt me that bad, like a bigger bull or a meaner bull like Hillbilly Hurricane, Raw Dog could. So I was at that time driving home. I remember saying, he goes, I can't believe that you've kept it up this long. So I had kind of said in my head that I wasn't going to draw another bull. And then my parents showed up and said, too many concussions, too much. And here's the deal. Your mother cannot sleep at night. And she worries about you every day, not just when you're going to a rodeo, because you have I had a 1,000cc crotch rocket at the time. You got this stupid sport bike, and I had bought a Mazda RX-8, which is a little car, and I love that little car. It would go like stink. And but she said, you got that, and my dad talking, you got that RX-8, and he says, and then this bull riding thing, you got responsibilities, you got kids, you got all this, and one accident with any of these things, and you're done. And then what's your family going to do? And your mom's not sleeping, that's it, you're done. And I had kind of already made up my mind, because I'm not sure that I hadn't listened to my parents in 30-something years of my life, which is bad to say. But I kind of made up my mind ahead of time, but that was the solidifying factor that, okay. So they said, you sell all that crap and that's it. And you're done. So I said, okay, well, if I do all that, Dad, we're going back to trap shooting.
I don't think that's any less expensive, which is a good topic.
No, my gosh. It is not. But I will say, it's definitely another conversation and a whole other topic. But the next time that I had seen you, I hadn't seen you for a long time. The next time that I had seen you, Redneck Country was putting on an intro to waterfowling clinic at Cabela's in Barrie.
Oh, Cabela's there. That's right.
And you and Candace and everybody came out. And we were talking about it. And the first thing I said to you, do you remember what the first thing I said to you when I ran into you actually walking before the seminar that you got, cause you guys were coming to watch and appreciated the support, but you were coming to watch the seminar, but I ran into you but near the customer service desk. Do you remember what I said to you on my way, on my passing?
No.
I got my buckle.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had stopped the bull ride and I had won a buckle at the provincials and trap shooting.
So the provincials, that's right.
Yeah, I had got my buckle. I remember that. But that that's was awesome. It for me. And that summed up my bull riding and my pretty much my stories. Now I'm all out of them from that. There was some other rides. I mean, I could go on for every ride that I went on, because it's something so niche and so much happens in a less than 8 second span, and a lot less than 8 seconds for myself. But
I hope you gave our listeners a little bit of insight into it.
There's a lot of content, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, for but sure.
I think we should sum it up by saying, if you want to get into bull riding, you can absolutely do it. And Bill is probably one of the people that have made that possible in Ontario with clinics and schools and getting it known that, I mean, it's blowing up in Ontario so much that they were able to break away from the CCA and they've got, even Brazilians are riding in the Ontario rodeo leagues with the Ram Rodeo and stuff. Now it's gotten so popular and such, but you can get into it. And I don't know if we want to mention the school that you were part of.
I'm completely retired from the sport of rodeo now. I mean, the Build a Cowboy was what we started and put through. And I'm very much out of the whole sport of rodeo and the teaching, but I like talking about it. If there's a young lad there, I saw a video of last night, I guess, Todd, can you tag me?
Yep, friends of mine. Yep. And I told them, they said, hey, our son, they've never been around rodeo or anything their whole lives and don't know anything about it. And she calls herself the city mom, of mine. But their son loves PBR so much. They got him a hat, and he was a bull rider for Halloween, and he wants to be a bull rider. I think he's 8 years old. And I only know from talking to his mom, and so they built him. His dad, I guess, is really handy and is a pretty smart in some mill writer, some trade profession is pretty good. So they built him a bucking barrel and wanted some tips, and they asked me, she asked me, and I was talking with her on the promotional side of doing some shirts and stuff, and I said to her, you know what, I can admit that I am not the dude. I can go on and tell you, you know, toes out, put your chest out, drive from your hand, don't let your don't let your butt touch them. Keep your pockets up and push up and match them and everything else. And but get over the front. And I don't want to, I'm not that guy. I can tote that stuff all day, but I will put you in touch with who you need to talk to that can give you the tips. And so, yeah, I passed them on to you, Bill. And I know you were more than willing to have that.
Oh yeah. And I'm always, like I said, it not being involved in rodeo anymore is different than not giving advice. And I would love nothing more than if anybody has questions or anything like that, I could for sure break down a video and see a little bit of technique and so that can be improved on and dry land training stuff to practice in preparation for the rodeos and stuff. I mean, you know, it's always there. It's always going to be a part of my history, my DNA, things that define who I am now. And talking about it on this one has definitely brought back a lot of memories, good memories from years gone past. And I appreciate you pulling it out of me, I guess.
Yeah. Again, Bill wasn't certain that he was full blown wanted to do it. And I thought, you know what? I know it'd be interesting. It'd be great. And no, it is. It's awesome. But yeah, by all means, you guys, you can get into this sport. If you want to do it, you can do it. And Build a Cowboy is definitely one school. I'm going to put him on blast. Alex Van Every is the gentleman that's kind of, he is, you and him were doing it. He's kind of taken over now that you've kind of stepped away from it. And
There's schools in Ontario for sure. And there's
others
there.
Too. Yeah. And I don't keep track. Again, I don't even watch it much anymore because there's still part of me. I don't go to them. I want to get on again. There's still part of me that's like, you know what? I think I'm going to go do it again. When things start to get down, I'm like, yeah, I need a shift. I'm going to go bull ride. And, but don't, so I don't go, I don't watch it really on TV or anything a whole lot. And I should probably try again and see, but
I'm the same way really. You know, I've gone away from it to a point right now where, it's not that I avoid it. It's just not the first thing I turn to anymore. My son and my daughter playing sports, baseball and football. I turn there, you know, to get my excitement or joy. But just things have changed. But again, to anybody out there that's interested, look me up, ask me a few questions, or if you need a video broken down, I'll do my best to help you out.
We post this through Redneck Country. So by all means, if you hit us, we'll pass you on to Bill, and Bill can pass you on. And again, I'm going to put Alex Van Every on blast as well. You ever see his name around, but we'll pass you on to him. He's probably going to be like, oh, Todd, I'm going to get, but no, I'll pass your name on to him for sure. I know I've had some other friends reach out and I've put him in touch. So absolutely, you can get into this sport of bull riding because heck, I did it in my 30s. So anybody can do it. It's just you heard what it's going to take from Bill's standpoint with the heart and the try. But anyway, thanks for listening. I had a good time talking about it. I got to go on some stories and some tangents, and I know we have gone on a lot. This is going to be a couple-parter.
Yeah, I think so too. So, well, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Todd and Scotty. Good chat.
Yeah, it was really good.
Okay, that'll do it for today. So until next time, on behalf of Redneck Country Podcast, I'm Bill Tom.
I'm Todd Millard. And Scott Goodall?
Nope, I'm good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to be part of the podcast, by all means, hit us up at podcast@theredneckcountry.com. Again, that's podcast@theredneckcountry.com, and be part of it. Join us and have a blast. I hope you enjoyed it sitting around the campfire having some fun.